So as we talked about, you can see that the project I'm talking about today, we have a lot of different players and stakeholders involved. And it's focused, although the title and the focus of the talk today is on cross-agency, improving cross-agency collaboration for One Health in Minnesota, there's sort of a greater community that's discussing this project as well, and I'll talk a little bit about that. I have to say, as a wildlife physiologist, I have not, and nor have I ever, benefited financially from any of my work. So for us, the definition of One Health is really a cross-sectoral, cross-disciplinary approach to solving challenges that are emerging in health at the intersection of animals, humans, and the environment. So a very broad context. And the work that I'm talking about today really emerged out of a meeting that was held in Stone Mountain, Georgia in 2010 called Operationalizing One Health, a Policy Perspective. This was a meeting that was hosted and held by CDC, but with many collaborators and co-hosts, including the World Health Organization, FAO, OIE, among others. And the idea of it was to, there had been a lot of international meetings at that point talking about One Health, but this meeting was really meant to go to sort of practical projects that could advance One Health around the world. So tangible, practical, implementable. And they had invited a whole range of experts from many different fields that were really, they were targeting sort of mid-career people, not so much the talking heads, the high-level people that had been to all the other meetings. They were trying to get a sort of a new crowd in. So out of that meeting, a number of working groups were formed. And they've since that time, this meeting has been referred to as the Stone Mountain Meeting. So these are the Stone Mountain Meeting working groups. And I highlighted the top three because these three working groups, the One Health Training Working Group, which was led by Kira Christian and Joannelli from Kira Christian from CDC and Joannelli from USDA, the Country Level Needs Assessment Working Group, which was led by Jean Commanzi from the World Bank at the time, now he's at FAO, and the Capacity Building Working Group, which was led by myself at University of Minnesota. These three working groups collaborated on the project I'm going to talk about from here on in. So the Needs Assessment Working Group created their sort of primary project coming out of the Stone Mountain meeting was to create a One Health Self-Assessment Guide. And this is the title page from that guide. And once they'd created it, they were very interested in piloting it. Initially, they wanted to pilot it in a country, but for a variety of reasons, that was not feasible, including funding as well as sort of international politics. So they were looking for a place to pilot this guide, and they decided to focus on what was achievable. So there were two pilots that have been done to date of this tool, and one was in northern Canada, and that was led by Craig Stephen, who was part of the Needs Assessment Working Group and also a co-writer of this guide. And then myself and Joannelli from USDA focused on a statewide piloting in Minnesota. I wasn't really involved in the first pilot, but I'll briefly talk about it. So this was a pilot that was done in the Northwest Territories of Northern Canada and focused on an identified problem that the government had identified. And that was an increasing incidence of anthrax and bison in that area. And so the government, the Federal Public Health Agency, hired Craig to implement the guide. They already knew that they wanted a better and an improved One Health approach, so they recognized that cross-sectoral collaboration was going to be important, and so they sort of self-identified that they wanted to strengthen that using this approach. And so they did find that they, in this workshop that they held using this guide, that they already had a sort of a good foundation of a culture of collaboration, but that they wanted to take a more systems-based approach to control of anthrax rather than just a disease reduction approach. So from their perspective, they felt like the guide was very useful. They really felt like having that one specific problem was important in terms of using the guide effectively, and they also felt it was important to have Craig Stephen, who had actually created the guide in part, who was leading this effort, so someone who was very familiar with this process, and also having that buy-in and self-recognition that a One Health approach was important from the government agencies was important to their success. My understanding is that that pilot is going to be published fairly soon, so they're writing it up. In Minnesota, it was quite a different approach. So Minnesota was chosen really by Joe and Ellie and I. I'm there. And it was chosen in part because it's recognized as a place where One Health happens, which you can tell in this session. Because especially around things like foodborne illness, where the state agencies work very closely together and are very successful in foodborne illness outbreaks. So we thought it would be interesting to test the tool in a place where One Health does happen. And the goals were really to identify some of the skills and knowledge that drive One Health in the state. You know, why is it successful? Why are people doing this One Health approach? And to work with state agencies to improve it and maybe even apply this model that already works well on one sector, the foodborne illness sector, to other problems and emerging challenges in the state. And then work with the federal agencies to create a toolkit that they might apply to other states. And USDA in particular was interested in that. So we're working with Joe and Ellie and Tracy Lynn from the One Health Office of USDA. And their particular interest is to take what we're learning through this tool and apply it to other states around the country. So the one thing we found with the tool is, given that we didn't have a particular problem to work on, and the state agencies weren't asking us to implement this tool, we kind of had a hard time getting a purchase on it. It was fairly high level, and it sort of went through steps that weren't really relevant if you didn't know what you were trying to focus on. There are many One Health problems in the state of Minnesota, and certainly if you're talking about a country, there are many One Health problems. So we have declining moose, and we have flooding, and we have all sorts of things. So. And also it talks about using existing data. Well, there is no existing, even though everyone knows that we have a One Health approach in Minnesota, no one's actually documented that One Health approach. So it wasn't really easy to get a purchase on what was happening with One Health, even in a place like Minnesota. So we decided to start with some interviews and focus groups to try and get a kind of an understanding of what was happening and also what might be useful in terms of implementing this guide. So we did some semi-structured interviews. We used about 9 to 10 key questions that lasted about an hour. And we did 12 interviews total of really sort of targeted people within the agencies, both state and federal. And so these interviews were really focused on what do people define as One Health and what do agencies define, documenting existing cross-disciplinary, cross-sectoral work, who and why people are collaborating, and what people see as successes and failures of cross-sectoral collaboration, and also just asking the question, how might this whole needs assessment process be useful to the state? And what was somewhat surprising to us is that it was very, very heavy on culture in terms of why people do One Health in the state of Minnesota. People really talked about it like, this is just how it works. This is why we just do this. This is how we get our job done. If we want to be effective, we do this. So there wasn't really any impetus, any external impetus for people to do this, or very few. And they talked a lot about some of the sort of ongoing relationships that a lot of the state agencies in Minnesota have, not only with across the different sector agencies, but also within the university, and how people move in and out of the university, and how that has been important in terms of maintaining this culture. Good communication skills, and particularly certain people that were sort of central to communicating across all the agencies. Certain people came up over and over again as being important. Leadership that allowed for innovation, creativity, and new ways of doing things. Excuse me. And a long history of doing infectious disease in the state and dealing with infectious disease outbreaks. And also some informal social interactions that happen. So there's an interagency mixer that happens frequently. There were a few places where what we call infrastructure, policy or regulation or standards of practice were in place that drove, some of the interactions. People spoke quite a lot of the fact that in Minnesota, there's co-location of Minnesota Department of Agriculture, Minnesota Department of Health, and Board of Animal Health. I might argue that that is actually a symptom of One Health in the state rather than a driver, although it's both. Because the Department of Ag and Department of Health actually lobbied the legislature to build a building together in the first place. So obviously they were already collaborating. There were sort of limited numbers of MOUs and contracts and requirements that were pointed to, and some required reporting that happens in the state, particularly around zoonotic disease. that people pointed to, and a few kind of working relationships, like commissioners' meetings that happened regularly. And there was one meeting, a risk communication meeting, that used to happen, it no longer does, that number of people pointed to, that was actually hosted by the university, but was a quarterly conversation about risk communication that all the agencies attended, and they felt like that really built a relationship among the agencies in an interesting way. And recently, the implementation of incident command systems, particularly on the agricultural side, was pointed to as something that kind of created a framework around cross-sectoral collaboration. One thing that we found, though, and sort of as we were trying to get a handle on this culture issue and these sort of scattered infrastructure, we felt like it was hard to get a handle on it, and we wanted a way of documenting it. And we sort of ran across, through these interviews, some of the work that the Department of Agriculture had already done that, and a tool that they were using that we felt might be interesting. So this is actually a map using a lean system analysis that our Department of Agriculture colleague, Heidi Kassenberg, created for foodborne illness in the state. And basically, to explain it, each of these lanes here, these horizontal lanes, is a different agency in the state. And this whole process is moving from diagnosis of a foodborne illness through all the agencies and how all the agencies interact over time until a foodborne illness is controlled in the state. So this is sort of an idealized picture, but we thought it was really interesting in the fact that most often these kinds of maps are created internally within an agency or usually within a business to look at processes within the business. But she was really looking at it across all the agencies, which in the state of Minnesota makes sense because that's how they work. So we thought it was a really interesting tool, could be an interesting tool for mapping out how agencies are working together in the state. So, and the idea of this is that you map out the current state, so you interview and find out what people are actually doing, not always what they're supposed to be doing, and then you review it together and you identify wasted steps and you create a future state, desired future state map, and then you implement process improvements to reach that future state. So in her case, she had implemented some standards of practice and some position descriptions and some training programs that would allow her agency to increase efficiency and improve foodborne illness in the state. Foodborne illness, not improving foodborne illness, but response. So we decided to take the same process. We presented it to our other partners in the government, and they were interested in applying it to some other things in the state. We decided to start with zoonotic disease because it's fairly straightforward and it's fairly similar to foodborne illness. But they were also actually interested, ultimately, interesting to you, in something more complex like vector-borne disease in the state, which has a lot more pieces to it. So that's going to be next. But today I'm just going to be talking about what we just finished, which was the zoonotic disease process. So we basically met with each agency separately and mapped out four disease scenarios. Tuberculosis in deer, which just happened in our state, tuberculosis in a dairy cow, avian influenza in a live bird market, and avian influenza in wildlife. And with the exception of USDA, we were supposed to meet with them, but then the furlough happened. So we were foiled by the federal government. We created a combined map. We actually had created two combined maps, not four, one for tuberculosis and one for influenza. And then held the interagency workshop to review together these different maps. And also, we also created asterisks on the map to say where there were discrepancies between what the agencies were telling us and where there were questions and where there could be clarifications on the process. So we just actually last Tuesday, hot off the presses, held the interagency workshop and walked through these maps that we created and talked through some of the discrepancies and some of the clarifications and came up with essentially a list of best practices and actions that this group of cross-sectoral zoonotic disease people in the state thought would be helpful to improve their processes in the state. And also talked through some of the issues of, you know, where is that culture, where can we improve skills and knowledge within the workforce to get at that culture issue. Where might we put in some infrastructure to improve collaboration? So this is the map we created for TB that went into the workshop. Obviously, you can't see it. But each of these swim lanes is a different agency. And this is all the agencies collaborating, how they collaborate across during the TB outbreak. And this is the one we did for influenza in a wild bird market. And these are some of the discrepancies that we identified during the first interviews. So, for example, we got different people telling us reporting. So who calls who and when? Are they called at the preliminary results level, or are they called when their results are confirmed, for example? There's what we call the magic meeting. This is our own description. But there were some agencies that said, well, we just hold a phone call across all the agencies. But other agencies weren't saying that. So does it happen or does it not happen? Does it only happen under certain circumstances? So we kind of talked through issues like that. This is the group. This is our whiteboard. So then we came up with a list, literally sort of walking through, well, you know, does it happen or does it not happen? Should it happen? Is this something that would be a best practice if we wanted to advance cross-agency collaboration in the state? And this is our final map after this interagency workshop. And basically, some of the best practices that we identified in that meeting were this magic meeting turned out to be something that everyone in the room really felt like should happen. And maybe that we should be creating a multi-agency committee in the state that would meet quarterly and maybe work through questions like this on a quarterly basis, doing after-action reviews together, for example. And there was some discussion of whether they could use this committee to do some of the required systems reviews and tabletops that their agencies are already required to do separately, but they could maybe do them together using this multi-agency committee. There was a lot of discussion of reporting requirements in the state. In particular, there is a law. The animal health sector has to report diseases of public health concern to the state public health veterinarian. But there's no equivalent on the animal ag side. And so, for example, the state human health, Department of Health, collects data on tuberculosis, bovine tuberculosis. But that never necessarily is told to the Board of Animal Health, but it could be of concern to them. And similarly, there are diseases in deer that have been identified by our veterinary diagnostic lab, but that are of concern to the livestock sector, but are never actually told to the Board of Animal Health. So they were interested in maybe creating sort of a parallel, maybe not a law, but a policy or a recommendation for diseases of concern to the livestock sector to be reported to the Board of Animal Health, and maybe a list of diseases that need to be reported, both from wildlife and from humans. There was a lot of interest in the map. People really seemed to like having that visual representation of this cross-sectoral engagement. And so they thought maybe they could use it to inform not only their staff or new staff that come in about how their agency works in relation to all the other agencies, but even their own leadership, about sort of the role their agency plays in relation to all these other agencies. They were interested in creating standards of practice and position descriptions based on these interactions that these agencies are doing. And there was some discussion of sort of the incident command system that is being implemented under certain circumstances in different agencies. And you know, it's not really talked through, but how it might be applied across agencies in the state. And then a list of key contacts for the staff in the different agencies, across all the agencies. So where are we going from here? The USDA, as I mentioned, is interested in this as to create a toolkit using this process. They've scheduled a training already in May for their veterinary services personnel, and they're interested in maybe training them on this process. We're going to be working with the Minnesota agencies to follow up on the recommendations that came out of this workshop. And Jean Comanzi, who's now at FAO, as I mentioned, is interested, as am I, who I'm working with this USAID Respond project, in potentially applying this process in an international setting. So the guide was seen to be useful, although more useful under some circumstances than others, and it's been revised to be a little more applicable to a broader set of circumstances. And it's definitely, there's sort of a growing directory of people that are familiar with these processes and can help application of it. and also a shareable library of tools and plans and processes is emerging that can accompany the sort of broader high-level guide that will make it more useful, I think, under different circumstances. I'd like to acknowledge all the different players that have been involved in this project, and particularly Carol Rubin, who was the main driver of the Stone Mountain meeting, as well as the One Health Partnerships Grant, which funded this work in the state of Minnesota. Thank you.